Hello and welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix for Wednesday, July 1st, 2015. The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at kingdomstrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort and pick it up from the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando stroller rentals and an authorized Walt Disney World stroller vendor. So today on the Dad Show, we're once again joined by a Diz Dad and a Diz Kid as we talk to Brad Coates and his daughter Patty Jo about their week-long vacation at Universal Studios Florida and Walt Disney World. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Aaron.
Hey.
So now, Brad, you've done a number of, you know, Walt Disney World trips. You do the travel agent gig, so you know you take in some extra things here and there. I believe you've done a visit to Universal Orlando before, also fairly recently, to keep yourself familiar. But I understand that, Patty Jo, this was your first visit to Universal Orlando.
Yes, sir.
So coming into this trip, what was it about Universal Florida that you were most looking forward to? And we should let you know, mention to people that you visited Universal Studios Hollywood, but you know Universal Florida is really a very different animal. So you know, what was it about Universal Studios Florida and the Florida parks that you were most looking forward to?
One of the main things I was looking forward to is riding the Hulk.
Okay. So the bigger coaster and the, you know, extra boost start there was something you were looking forward to. Anything else that you was a particular point of interest?
Oh, and the Harry Potter land by far. That was exciting.
Okay. So you're a Harry Potter fan and
yes.
Excited to check out the Wizarding World. And so you had, I believe you mentioned before we started recording that you were going to do 2 days at the Universal Parks. So, Brad, what was the overall strategy for touring the Universal Parks?
Well, we went ahead and you mentioned that I do the travel agent thing. So I'd heard that Universal was offering a what's called a Take-Two transfer, which is a really cool transfer they offer where they will pick you up from the airport and then they will deliver you to Disney World. Unlike Disney, there is a fee for it. Or they'll do it the other way around. They'll pick you up from Disney World and then deliver you to the airport when you're done. So it makes it perfect to make it a combined trip. And so I said, well, we're going to try that. We went in. Of course, we stayed on site. We stayed at Royal Pacific. We had stayed there once before and really enjoyed it. But mostly I wanted to stay there so we could get the Express Pass. And with the Express Pass, we knew we'd be able to take a couple of days and really hit Universal hard and get everything done in 2 days if we had that pass.
Sure, because, you know, it's not like you were visiting in, you know, mid-September or something. This was a trip in mid-June, so you know, you expected the heavier crowd level and busier lines. And so that Express Pass, I think, during those busier crowd times really can make a huge difference.
Yeah, and actually we were there the very first week of June, the very last couple days of May. And
oh,
so
okay.
It ended up, it wasn't too bad. The crowds really hadn't hit yet, so it did help. But there was times when I was like, yeah, we really don't even need it.
All right. Well, so before we dive into the parks, let's take a minute to talk about Royal Pacific. So, you know, Patty Jo, why don't you take a stab and tell us a little bit about your kind of initial impressions of Royal Pacific. What did you think of the hotel?
It was really beautiful. The decorations and everything just really caught your eye.
Right. Now, you know, like its name implies, it's a sort of a Pacific Islands theme, very tropical feel. And Brad, what do you think the strengths of Royal Pacific are, really?
Well, the nice thing about Royal Pacific is their flagship hotels have all the same level of quality, honestly, as the high-end hotels at Disney World. But with Royal Pacific, the price point is definitely a lot easier to swallow. So as opposed to Hard Rock Hotel, which is a little bit more, and then Portofino, which is quite a bit more, it had a great price point. Plus, we love the Caribbean. We love cruising. We've been to Aulani, and we loved Aulani. And Royal Pacific gives you that same kind of a feel. It feels very Caribbean, very, you know, Polynesian as far as the everything. And then, of course, the location. The last time I stayed there, I never knew. I'd heard you could walk to the parks, but I'd never done it. But this time we actually walked to the parks, and it's not as close as Beach Club is to Epcot, but it's not that far from it. It was really a fairly short walk.
Yeah, it really is nice. I mean, I would say it's no longer than the walk from maybe Bay Lake Tower to Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, or maybe Boardwalk to Epcot, maybe.
Yeah, sure.
Right around that range.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. Yeah. And I think that one of the things about, you know, Royal Pacific, and you alluded to it there, you know, the price point is a little more friendly, maybe, you know, closer to the Disney moderate price point.
Right.
And it's, to be fair, the rooms are about the size of a Disney moderate, but, you know, the amenities are more deluxe hotel type amenities, and you get the proximity benefit that you don't get out of any hotels other than deluxe hotels at Walt Disney World, certainly.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. That's exactly it. The rooms were, the beds were very comfortable, but they weren't large. They were serviceable. But the restaurants we ate in, the common areas, the pool area, everything is very much deluxe level. It's very nice.
Yeah, yeah. And we should mention, you know, I know I've done the math on it, and, you know, although obviously it's going to vary sometimes seasonally and that kind of thing as there are some price differences throughout the year, you know, most of the time, if you do the math, the cost of staying at Royal Pacific, where you get the free express pass, you know, included as part of the package with your room, versus staying at the newer Cabana Bay Beach Resort, which is sort of a value-priced resort, but does not include the Express Pass benefit, it really was within, you know, maybe $50 or so.
That's very close.
Over a full vacation if you're going to pay for the Express Pass at Cabana Bay versus staying at Royal Pacific and getting it for free.
Exactly. It really comes down to, is Express Pass something you were going to get one way or the other? You really want it.
Yeah.
The other advantage is the one that you buy is a one-time per-ride Express Pass, where the one you get from the resort is unlimited. So we could ride Transformers four or five times if we wanted, whereas with the one you purchase, the first level, you just get a ride at once.
Right, right.
So it's definitely, you're right. I priced it out same way, and it's like, yeah, why not? I mean.
So, you know, all right. I think we've probably belabored the Royal Pacific Hotel experience enough, but I did want to spend some time talking about it because we don't really talk about the Universal Hotel experience maybe as often as we do the Walt Disney World ones. And so you've got 2 days in the parks. Did you have a sort of a, you know, down day on arrival, or was this a, you know, arrival park day and then departure park day?
Yeah, we come from towards the West Coast. We're in New Mexico, and so we always lose hours getting there, et cetera, and we have to drive hours to get to an airport to even get there, and there are no direct flights. So bottom line is, when we go, there really is not much left to do that first day. So
right.
We planned it to get there early enough, to get there to have kind of a late dinner, kind of relax around the resort, and then get up first thing in the morning and get after it, and that's what we did.
All right. So presumably you're taking advantage of that early admission. Which park had the early admission available to you?
Oh, man, I always get them switched. It is Islands of Adventure that has it. It's the original Harry Potter park.
Okay. So, yeah, that is the Islands of Adventure side, and that's got the Superhero Island and the Wizarding World of Harry Potter there, and, you know, that's what's going on that side of Universal. So, maybe going back over to Patty Jo, for you, what were the highlights of the experience there at Islands of Adventure? You know, maybe two or three things that were, you know, really stood out about Islands of Adventure.
I think Harry Potter was a part of that, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, that was most, like, the main thing there. It was amazing. As soon as you stepped in, you were in America. You were in Harry Potter world. And the Spider-Man and the Hulk ride, just so amazing.
Okay. Yeah, definite highlights. You know, that's the Hogsmeade side of the Wizarding World is there in Islands of Adventure. And then you mentioned Spider-Man and Hulk on Superhero Island. Brad, how about for you? What were the highlights for you of the Universal, Islands of Adventure side?
It's funny because I'm a huge Transformers fan. Transformers is in the other park, isn't it?
Yeah, Transformers is in the Studios park on the other side.
So we don't have to worry about that one yet. But the superhero section there with Spider-Man and everything, I really have grown to appreciate Spider-Man a lot. But this time around, I actually got a chance to enjoy a little bit more than I did the first time there, all the water rides.
Go ahead. Mention that a little bit.
Yeah. I've only been to Universal Orlando one other time, and that was with my other daughter, my older daughter. We went out there, and we were out there without the family on a national competition for her. And so that's why it was Patty's first time and Katie's second. But we went on the log ride. And they
right, Ripsaw Falls.
Yes. And they put the two of us in the front of the boat with nobody else behind us. So the boat was sagging in the front. And sent us out. And I have never in my life taken a shower where I got wetter. I've been scuba diving and not got as wet as I got. I mean, it literally would cause a wave to come up over the front of that boat, and it just filled that boat with water. We were so wet.
Yeah, I got to say, I've ridden that as well, and very close to the same description that I've given of it. And sometimes I wonder why they even put you in a log.
Yeah, exactly. It's just some kind of bubble to keep us from getting bruised and just send us down.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just shove us down the chute. Might as well.
But this time we decided, you know what, we're going to be those tourists that everybody laughs at. We brought our ponchos, and we did the Ripsaw Falls, and then we did the Bilge Rats, which was maybe the best ride, don't you think, Patty, of those big tube rides? It's like Grizzly River Run and
Cali River Rapids.
Yeah, Cali River Rapids. It's like that. That may be the best one we've ever ridden, don't you think, Patty?
Yeah, I thought it was better than Disney's, to be honest.
Yeah, that was a lot
longer.
Yeah, it was definitely longer. And then what was the other water ride? There was a third one.
Let's see, is that the
sorry, I should have wrote it down.
It's the Bilge Rat Barge. The Me Ship the Olive, is that it?
Yeah, that sounds probably right. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It was that was it. Yep. It was something to do with olive oil. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was really good. So, honestly, that was kind of one of my favorite, because I hadn't really done the other two water rides. The last time I got so wet on the Ripsaw Falls, I said, forget it, I'm done. But I really enjoyed those. They were great.
Well, so I got to ask, did the ponchos actually make much difference?
Yeah. Except for where you sit.
Yeah.
Well, this is what I'm saying.
Now, the kids, it was funny. I kept my feet up in the bilge rapids. And so my shoes were totally dry, but my kids and my wife, they were just like sloshing like crazy in the shoes. But we actually planned it with it in mind. We'd ride the water rides, and then we'd take a break for the day and go back to the hotel and change and come back for the evening. So it actually worked out good.
Sure. Now, and I will mention one of the I guess it's a nice thing. You know, I always am conflicted about these devices because on the one hand, I think it's nice that Universal provides them. On the other hand, they charge for them. And that is that they have those, you know, full body dryers outside their water rides.
Right. I didn't do it this time, but the last time we tried it and it didn't really work. I was like, I spent all that money and I went, yeah, well, never mind. I'm still wet. My underwear still feels very strange. So. And I didn't feel comfortable stripping down to my skivvies, so.
Right, right. all right, so you know, you were doing some fairly commando touring here, trying to fit in and really all of the parks in 2 days. Were you, did you dine in the park at Islands Adventure?
At Islands of Adventure, I don't think we did because we came out of the park and then we ate back at the hotel, didn't we?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the second day, we ate just fast food, and then we ate at Cowfish.
Oh, okay, in City Walk.
Downtown. Yeah, we go to City Walk to eat.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. You know, City Walk is maybe a bit more akin to the Disneyland version of Downtown Disney, being sort of right there adjacent to the parks.
Exactly. You can step out and go eat and go right back in. I mean, it's yeah. No big deal. It's right there, which makes it very nice.
So that second day was maybe a little more focused on the studio side of the park. And until recently, I think that people kind of, you know, felt like the studio side was kind of neglected a bit, but it's gotten a lot of attention over the last couple of years. And we mentioned already the Transformers ride and the expansion of the Harry Potter area to the studio side. Now you've got the Diagon Alley area. So, Patty Jo, over on the studio side, what were the things that really stood out for you?
Again, it has to be the second part of the Harry Potter land. Sorry, I really love that. And I gotta say the
Minion ride.
Oh yes,
like
that Minion ride was adorable. Those things are so cute.
Yeah, Minion Mayhem is definitely an upgrade from the old Jimmy Neutron ride. I would definitely say agree there.
Yeah,
we never had a chance to see the Jimmy Neutron, so.
Yeah.
Well, I think I rode Jimmy Neutron the last year it was still operating, and then we got a chance to ride Minion Mayhem the few months after it opened, and it was a definite improvement. So how about you, Brad? What were the things that stood out on the studio side for you? Clearly, you enjoyed the Minions as well.
Yeah, I always like the Minion. I like those 3D type rides. So Simpsons over on the other side of Islands of America, that's a good one. And then the Minion one, those are great rides. But probably for me, it's still I'm a coaster junkie, and I actually my daughter Patty Jo here is the one that goes with me on the bigger coasters when all the other ones tend to freak out. But I couldn't get her to ride with me on Rip Ride Rocket, so.
You rode solo on Rip Ride Rocket, huh?
Actually, my older daughter did go with me, so I didn't have to go solo, but I'm not sure she'll do it again.
So what do you think of Rip Ride Rocket?
I love it. I love that coaster. That coaster's amazing.
All right, so here's my only issue with Rip Ride Rocket. I agree that it's a fantastic ride. It may be the most uncomfortable seat and restraint system of any coaster I've ever been on.
If you don't count Matterhorn at Disneyland, I agree.
Well, Matterhorn has its problems, but that's more because, you know, it's just kind of tight and my knee is always banging on the side of the car.
Those new designed cars. I didn't used to mind the old cars, but boy, those new ones, man, I thought I was going to have Jaws of Life to get me out of that car. It's like, oh, my God. And the whole time I'm just begging God to get me off this ride because my knees were in my throat.
Yeah. But you know, Rip Ride Rocket, I'm telling you that seat was like a medieval torture device.
It is. You're not kidding. And the way those shoulder pads come down, they don't feel like they fit right. So it just feels like it's crushing you the whole time. You're bouncing around and banging. And
it wasn't the shoulder harness that was so uncomfortable for me. It was the other end of the...
The south end.
Yeah. That was particularly uncomfortable.
But I always like Rip Ride Rocket. And we actually, another thing we did, which we kind of enjoyed, we'd never gone to it, and I'm kind of glad we did because the rumors are it may not be around, was we went and saw the singing. Who's the guy?
Oh, the Beetlejuice's review?
Beetlejuice, yeah. I went and saw the review. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those things. It's sort of, part of the, I think maybe what people would think of as the old Universal Florida. But I think there's a certain charm to the, Beetlejuice review, the Blues Brothers bit. They're really, I love theme park live entertainment. And both of those are just well done experiences.
I agree. That's part of the fun is that, we don't go to the parks just to ride rides. We go to experience. And so those things, we always make sure we hit the shows and things too. And we really enjoy that. That's very iconic. I hope it sticks around.
Sure. That's kind of the park experience there. You mentioned you ate at Cowfish in City Walk. Talk a little bit about Cowfish because it's fairly new. It's only opened in the last maybe 9 months or so there in City Walk. So talk about what it is and what you enjoyed there.
It was absolutely amazing. The food was good. The waiters were very respectful, and you could tell that they're there to work. And
you could tell they enjoyed their work. They were very helpful and friendly without being, overly. They were just having fun. It wasn't like they were trying to get a bigger tip. He was just having a lot of fun.
So what kind of food does a place called Cowfish serve?
It serves like hamburgers and also seafood, right?
Yeah, sushi. It had sushi. It had burgers. It's very eclectic. The burgers are very unique. Katie had the peanut butter.
Yes.
Peanut butter hamburger, so it is exactly that. It serves cow, and then it serves fish, and then it does some really cool sushi. If people are into sushi, normally sushi is just raw meat, but they had cooked meat sushi too, with like steak, and they had lobster, and they had different things like that too.
So very just, unique. Just sort of taking advantage of the unique sort of packaging and knife work and things of sushi, but using other ingredients.
Exactly. And one thing about Cowfish, I don't think you'll have to look long and hard to find anything that would be considered normal. Fun park food.
Okay.
There's just nothing there. Not even a plain burger. Every burger had something special about it. And the incredible ideas. It was like the hardest part with it was like, well, I want these four. How about you guys? Because there were so many that looked so good.
Yeah. That was kind of Universal. Before we move from Universal to Walt Disney World, any sort of other thoughts or comments about the Universal experience that either of you want to add?
Well, I might mention, because you had mentioned, kind of commando style. The truth was, we built into every day, even when we went to Disney on this trip, I would do it real hard in the morning. And then we always took a break. We always had time in the middle to rest and relax and not so that we didn't overdo it. And really, we did both parks. We did everything we wanted and some things more than once, some things two or three times, and left early the second day and really had covered both parks, we felt, fairly, fairly effectively. So if you have that express pass and if you work it right, you really can cover those parks in 2 days fairly effectively without killing yourself.
How about you, Patty Jo? Anything you want to add about Universal?
One thing I love about Universal is, yes, I do love roller coasters, but I also love the awesome movie rides where the screen is in front of you as well. And they take that to a whole nother level.
Yeah, really, and there are several of those. I mean, it's not like there's just one. You've got, Spider-Man and Transformers and The Simpsons and, to Shrek. Some extent, Minion Mayhem that, all sort of work on that, simulator concept.
Right, Yeah. I will say one more thing, too, for all of our Disney fans that are out there. I could see us from this, because one of the reasons I wanted Patty to be on this podcast was because she's been to Disney as a kid so many times, but now she's getting older. It's time to kind of expand out and try some new things. And I could see us fitting Universal in on every trip. I really could. I don't think we'd want to spend more than a couple of days there. We're still Disney fans, but they really have stepped up their game with their stylizing, Harry Potter Land, even the cartoon land that was just over the top and creative in colors, and you know, it gave you that magical feeling that you want to get when you're traveling to the parks.
Sure, sure. Yeah, and I agree. I mean, it's nice when when you're a regular at any of the theme parks. I think having something that offers a little bit different, side of theme park entertainment is nice. It's a nice change of pace and, kind of helps keep your old favorites fresh.
Yep.
So you had your 2 days at Universal, and then you're moving over to Walt Disney World. So where were you staying at Walt Disney World?
We stayed at the Art of Animation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and it was really cool, even for a teenager.
So Art of Animation, I presume you stayed in one of the family suites?
Yes, we stayed in the Cars area.
Okay. And so talk a little bit about the theming of the Cars family suites at Art of Animation.
It was awesome. The swimming pool had its cones just like in the movies. And as soon as you walk in, it's completely Cars. There's nothing like it.
Yeah, when you start to people that are listening have never been to Art of Animation, if they've ever been to any of the moderates, they're laid out like the moderates, so in sections, like over at Pop Century, there's a section here and a section there. But the thing is, as soon as you enter a section at Art of Animation, you enter that world. So you come to this round circle, and as soon as you go past it, it changes to blacktop. And it's a two-lane highway, and it goes in, and all of a sudden you start seeing the cars and the facades on the front of the buildings. All one of them looks like Mater's garage, and one of them looks like one of them's got Luigi, the tire store there, and that's the building we stayed in. And so, as soon as you cross over into that section of the land, literally you are immersed in everything Cars. And you say one of the way it's decorated from the minute you walk on the sidewalk, through the hallways, on the carpet, on the walls, and you go into the rooms. Here's one thing. If you have a problem with overload, probably don't want to stay at Art of Animation, because it's literally the lamps are cones. The bathroom vanity looks like a tool chest, and everything in there just screams Cars.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it is just the most immersive theming of really any of the resorts. I mean, other resorts do a great job with placemaking, but Art of Animation is the one that I think the most, I guess I have people come back and tell me that that's the one that to them feels the most Disney.
Agreed.
Is the way they put it.
It really, well, because especially if they compare to Deluxes, Deluxes tend to be subtle. There's nothing subtle about Art of Animation. And it's not just Cars. And you go into the section that's Finding Nemo, and there was music in the pool. You could swim under the water and hear the music, and everything around it was fish. And the Little Mermaid section was totally Little Mermaids. The Lion King totally felt like you were in the jungle. And so they definitely are the most themed, I think, of any of the resorts by far.
Sure, sure. So you're staying at Art of Animation, and you basically are hitting, four parks and a water park in 5 days, right?
Yep.
Let's start wherever you started. You'd done 2 days in Universal. Where do you start at Walt Disney World?
Well, we figured since we would be transferring over, we'd want to start that first day in a park that would let us sleep in a little bit and not feel like we had to get cranking real fast and make it a little easier. So we started in Animal Kingdom because they always tend to open a little bit later.
Okay. So you're starting in Animal Kingdom, and what's the plan really for Animal Kingdom with maybe a little bit later start?
Well, this is where you and I have had our conversations, and of course all the other guys have had the conversations, where FastPass Plus has become a positive. And that is now you can actually work fast passes to your favor if you know how, so you don't have to start first thing in the morning. It's because of FastPass Plus, you can start later and pick the time you're going to do everything. And so we really did focus on that.
We went,
I don't think we saw Lion King first thing. We went and rode, well, maybe we did. We went and saw Lion King, the very first show, because we figured the crowds would be a little less. We hit Like Dinosaur, which is usually if you hit it early, you can get in. And then we had our Fast Pass Pluses stacked up to hit all of the major rides a little bit later in the day when they tend to get a little bit busier.
Sure. And so, Patty Jo, what are the highlights for you of your day there at Animal Kingdom?
I really love the dinosaur ride and also the Finding Nemo show and also the Lion King show as well.
Okay, and so let's talk for a minute about the Finding Nemo show, and I'm focusing on that maybe a little bit selfishly because I finally got my family to come with me to see the Finding Nemo show this last trip, and I think it just doesn't get the attention it deserves. We talk about the Lion King show quite a bit, and there was all the news about the new theater and all that, but Finding Nemo, I just think, is a tremendous show, and it doesn't get nearly the attention it deserves. What is it about that Finding Nemo show that you enjoy so much?
You are no longer in a theater. You are in the ocean with Nemo. You are completely immersed with all of the actors and their puppets and the people having birds on a stick flying around, and it was awesome.
Okay. And yeah, Brad,
I think that's...
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, that's the thing. The way those guys work those puppets, that's the thing that's so amazing, because you literally start to think of them as being fish. I mean, they do such a good job with animating and their voices and everything. And I'm with you, Aaron. I can't believe that there's a lot of people say, yeah, we don't go to Nemo. I'm like, you're kidding me, really? That's one of the best shows I've seen. It's awesome. So, but to each his own, I guess.
All right. And so, Brad, what were some other things about Animal Kingdom that were, highlights for you? Any other standouts?
Well, two things that were... let me just kind of say right up front so that we can set the tone. For us on this trip, because we've been so many times, we said what we're going to really focus on is seeing all the stuff that we have not experienced first and make sure we get a good sense of the new things, and then we'll fit in our favorites behind that if we feel like we have the energy, and when we're done we're going to quit. And so it was really nice to approach it we didn't have that mindset where my wife was just scared to death because I had all these plans and she said, you're going commando again, and I said, no, I'm actually planning so that we won't go commando. So I made sure the two things I think I may have enjoyed was Harambe Market.
Okay.
And the funny thing is, we didn't even eat there. But just going and seeing what they've built there with that market and how well it ties into the theming there and how much more good food opportunities and different food opportunities it affords that park that needed them. I was really impressed with Harambe Market. We always love the bird show. We enjoyed that as well. But I'll be honest with you, Lion King was good because we always like Lion King. But I think I went in because it's in this new theater we'd never seen, and I had it in my front and bigger and more, and it really wasn't. It was good. It was good like it always is, but there really wasn't. I didn't get any sense that it was even bigger than the other arena. I suppose it is, but it just didn't feel that way to me.
You mentioned that you'd checked out Harambe Marketplace, which would have just opened around the time that you were there at the beginning of June. Anything in particular that you think people should know about Harambe Marketplace? Because I think most of us probably haven't had a chance to check it out just yet.
Yeah, the two things I'd say about Harambe Market was I think it'll be a pleasant surprise for people that are looking for something that isn't just normal theme park fare. They had some very unique dishes, and that was good. It was good. It was African food, but it wasn't so wild and crazy. We didn't eat any of it because we had really just gotten into the park when we were over there. So, it looked really, really good, and it smelled good. The other thing I would mention, though, that is a little bit tricky, and we'll see how it plays out. It's kind of like dealing with cosmic rays, where you have, they had each shop sold like one dish. That was it. And then drinks.
Right, yeah. I noticed that. It's, you know, it's separate windows that had very short menus, you know, maybe two or three items tops.
So if you want one person that wants ribs, they got to get in this line. If you got somebody else wants the burger or whatever, they got to get in this line. And so that was the only bad thing about it. But theming, excellent, and a great new shortcut to get to the Kilimanjaro safaris.
Yeah. I mean, that was my favorite part about it. Really, is that it's one of the things that's happening that I think is going to go a long way to help improving the traffic flow around Animal Kingdom. That is sort of a side effect of all of this Avatar work that they're doing, you know, in the former Camp Mini Mickey area. Is, you know, while that work is going on, they've kind of been forced to finally address what have been long-standing traffic issues in the rest of the park.
Right. Yeah, because you get back in Africa and it just would bottleneck right in that where the two roads met. And now they've added that second path around, and that's really dealt with that. It's made it a lot easier.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so you know, you started at Animal Kingdom. Let's just kind of do a little kind of tour through the parks here together and talk about, you know, highlights from each of those park experiences. So next, let's talk about Hollywood Studios, which is another park that's got some major construction going on and you know, maybe a little different experience than you're used to at Hollywood Studios as a result.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of new things that we haven't done there before. I don't think there was anything new there, was there?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't deal with the construction walls too bad. The one thing we did do there, though, that was unique, and I'll let Patty Jo talk to that, was we did the sci-fi dine-in breakfast at the drive-in, sci-fi dine-in drive-in.
Oh, okay. So you were there for Star Wars weekends then?
Right. We were there. We didn't actually go on the weekend because we didn't want to mess with the crowds, but they had that opened. So we went and tried the sci-fi galaxy breakfast at sci-fi dine-in. So Patty, you can talk to that.
Yeah. Tell Patty, what did you think of that breakfast?
Oh, I made the mistake of wearing an R2-D2 hat and the stormtroopers didn't appreciate that very much. They made me get up, and they would get in my face, and they would take my hat and stuff like that. They were they would act to it a lot.
Ah, so you were the droid they were looking for.
Yeah.
I guess it was. And I mean to tell you, this one stormtrooper, it was like, I thought I was going to have to call a cop. Because it's like, he'd walk away. And about 4 minutes later, he would loop back and go straight at her. And I'm like, man, he's gonna scar my daughter for life. but it was good. And how would you think of the food?
I liked the food. It was a little bit much for my taste because I don't eat breakfast normally, but it was good.
Yeah, it was a good experience. My only drawback to it was, you know, it was a nice add-on, and it's something different and new. It was pretty expensive, but, you know, you expect that for character experiences in dining in Disney World. That's just the way it goes. But the actual character interaction, when we got it, it was good, but it wasn't varied very much. It was we had the same stormtrooper over and over. We had the guy that's the traitor, one of the traitors.
Right, the sand people.
Yeah, the sand people. And actually, I didn't realize it, but I started noticing others. If you gave them something, they would actually trade. They would trade stuff.
Right, yeah.
And so they really did do that. And then we had they had the sand people, and then we had the guy with the green face, crazy looking dude. I don't remember him. So, but yeah, and the sad part was you come in and Darth Vader's right there and Boba Fett's right there and you think, okay, well, this will be cool. Well, you took a photo with Darth Vader and Boba Fett and that's the last you saw. They don't ever come into the main room. So,
right. Sort of like Belle at Akershus.
Yeah,
she does
exactly.
That greeting photo at the beginning and then she doesn't appear again.
And that's kind of, isn't that what they did at Royal Table too? With Cinderella down the bottom and then she didn't come up? Yeah. Yeah, so, but I think all in all, we had a good time there. But as always, we happen to love Hollywood Studios. Normally, we do all the shows because, like I said before, we like the experience. Other people don't like Lights, Motor, Action, don't like Indiana Jones. We still like it. I mean, you know, but this time, because we were tight on time, we just kind of left those shows out and kind of focused on our favorite rides. And, of course, we made sure we got in our Toy Story and a couple of Star
Rock
Tours
and
rides.
Coaster.
And Patty Jo and her rock and roller coaster, man. I'll tell a funny story on her. You know, she used to not really like roller coasters that much. She was... didn't you? Like California Screaming, when we'd go to Disneyland, she would not get on that. In fact, she would get fear in her eyes if I even talked about it. And when I got her one trip to Disney World to try Rock and Roller Coaster, and I got her, and she's walking through the line, she's getting more and more nervous, and I just kept telling her, honey, here's the secret. As soon as it gets ready to launch, before it launches, just get in as much air as you can and scream as loud as you can. I said, and it won't freak you out because it just takes the adrenaline out. Once she's figured that out, this girl will go on anything now, just except for Rip Ride Rocket. She'll ride just about anything with me. So as long as I let her scream, she's good.
There you go. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. So, yeah, I mean, to me, that's always the hardest thing about Hollywood Studios is that I think that it takes a bad rap, I think, because probably to me about a third to a half of the, you know, best things about Hollywood Studios are shows.
Right.
And I know that I even have some difficulty, you know, kind of keeping the schedule straight to be able to make
to catch
it to all the shows. Yeah. And that's really my complaint about Hollywood Studios, I think, is that they don't do a very good job of staggering those show times.
Exactly. It's like they put them and it's like, well, if I want to see this one, I can't get over to the next one. So then I've got to figure out how do I switch things around to get that one and the next one down. And then like Lights, Motor, Action, they may only be one day, one time that day. So it's tough to fit them all in.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. So Sci-Fi Dining Theater breakfast, you know, you hit your favorite rides, maybe didn't get to fit everything in because, you know, keep trying to get everything done in one day. Any other highlight moments there at Hollywood Studios before we move on to the next park?
Go ahead, Patty.
I have to tell myself a little bit. When I was younger, my parents convinced me to ride Tower of Terror, and it absolutely scarred me for life. Like, I would not ride it. But this trip, I finally went on it, and I realized it wasn't that bad. It was actually pretty fun.
Yeah. That was a good one. I got her back on the horse.
Right.
She rode it like 2 months after it opened at Disneyland, and they had a lap bar back then.
Right.
That would only go down as low as the big people's legs. And she was this little, tiny, barely tall enough, and she was flying all over that car. So she was a mess for years. I mean, and that's years ago. We're talking years ago. This is the first time she's rode it since then. So it wasn't so bad, huh? It was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the studios. Let's, you know, hop ourselves a friendship boat and head over to Epcot and talk for a minute about the time you spent visiting Epcot. What were the highlights there? Anything that really stands out in your mind, either, you know, big positives, big negatives, either way?
Well, talk to them about where we went to eat lunch. Pizza. Via Napoli. Remember? You don't remember Via Napoli back in the back?
Oh, the Italian place.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That was really good food.
So talk to us about Via Napoli.
Their pizza is so amazing. It is completely authentic. It is just so good. And so is their pasta, but I don't think I've ever tasted pizza that good.
And in the past, we haven't always hit all of the lands. You know, we kind of get burned out, and before we get back to World Showcase, and we get in two or three countries, and then we kind of quit
before
we get to the back. So we kind of went back to Via Napoli and made sure this time. So we hit several new ones that we'd never done before, like the French show. We saw the American one for the first time, and that was really good. And we saw the guy in Italy, the blowing the whistle. And,
yeah, that was cute.
Yeah, so we had a lot of fun back there. But the honest truth was, Aaron, I said it a few podcasts back when we were talking, and I made the comment that Epcot is becoming the new Half Day Park, and a couple of guys kind of groaned. But I stand by that. Boy, they've got to get some stuff fixed and done. That poor park is really struggling right now. If you don't love World Showcase, there's just not much left to do in that park.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely does take a different touring approach. And I don't know. I still am going to argue with you. I don't think it's a half-day park. What I think is, I think it's a little bit like learning to appreciate Animal Kingdom.
You know?
I think that people think of Animal Kingdom as a half-day park until they...
do the animals and go out and see them. It's
exactly.
Cool.
Until they're willing to slow down a little bit and experience Animal Kingdom differently than you would experience the Magic Kingdom, where you're bouncing from attraction to attraction.
And
I think to some extent Epcot really is the same way now.
Totally. That's why I mentioned, with the caveat, if you're not into World Showcase.
Sure.
You can make it a full day because you go and really take your time and enjoy each one of the countries and let it absorb. And there's so much. I was really impressed with those countries we had never gone in and seen before. We went and watched the drummers at Japan. I don't think we really missed the candy lady.
Oh, yes.
That used to do the candy there in Japan. Yeah, shiny, dolphin, octopus. she was our favorite. She's not there anymore, but
no.
Those drummers were cool. I mean, it was, so we took our time a little more back then. I'm glad we did, because it gave me a better appreciation for World Showcase.
Yeah, I mean, I think my biggest complaint about Epcot, and I've mentioned it a couple of times a couple of times lately, and I'm going to mention it again because, doggone it, I'm going to ride this horse
until
they do something about it. My biggest frustration with Epcot right now is that unlike almost every other park that is, you know, this as big as Epcot is, they don't have any sort of means of transportation that travels from front to back of the park, right? And
it's
the Magic Kingdom, you can take the railroad around.
Yeah.
But there's really nothing at Epcot, and I know that there are the boats across the lagoon, but, you know, those routes just are not particularly convenient or helpful.
And they only shave off a portion of that distance, and they're so slow,
exactly.
You could literally walk to the back and beat the boat.
Right,
so
exactly.
What's the point? Yeah, I agree. You know, I've never thought about that, and I'd never heard you mention that before, but that's a very good point, because that park is very long.
Yeah.
It's not wide, but it is very long. And so to get from the front, it's like those people that say, well, we're staying in Beach Club, and we'll just go through the side gate, and we'll go to the front and catch the bus or catch the monorail. Good luck. You can be wore out.
Yeah.
It's a long hike from Beach Club through the park to the front. It's just, you might as well just cop the bus.
Yeah, well, exactly. And I don't know. I just think Epcot would really be a much more friendly, guest-friendly park if there was, you know, and maybe it's the Walt fan in me, but I would just love to see, you know, a true people mover transportation system in Epcot, right? That would, you know, run a loop.
That would have
like
been something we know he would have put in with that, the city of tomorrow, that kind of a theming tied back into it. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. All right. That's my wishful thinking moment for your
report. Yeah, we'll get off the soapbox now. We're good. I'm with you, Aaron. I'm team Aaron.
So you know, amidst all these theme parks, you also took a day to spend at one of the Walt Disney World water parks. Now, had you done the water parks before?
Yes. We've done both of them before.
Okay. So you've done both water parks before. Now, this time you hit Typhoon Lagoon. Was there a method to the madness there? What is it that makes you choose Typhoon Lagoon over Blizzard Beach?
It had more attractions that we liked, basically. Yeah.
Crushing Coaster. That's like the Crushing Gusher. That's our favorite ride in all the water parks.
Okay.
It's funny because we like that ride the best. And of course, we rode that one several times. Mom and Sissy kind of caved on us, but we kept doing it, huh, Patty? We made sure we hit all of them. Because they have like three different ones you can take there. And then we usually love it because of the wave pool, because they have real waves instead of that other one where it just rocks you back and forth and makes your knees and feet get scraped on the bottom.
Yeah.
Seriously, I do not like that wave pool at Blizzard Beach. It just throws you around a lot.
Right.
It's just no fun. But we never did get in the wave pool. We never did because we were doing short. So we really just kind of hit our rides, hit all the big rides. And because we went there first thing, so we literally hit all of the major rides on the back part side of the park and to the right side of the park, rode them all, rode all the different types of Crush and Gusher, and then we were out of there by 1 o'clock, I think. Mm-hmm. So in 3 hours, we pretty much hit everything.
Okay, so yeah, so that was a pretty, I guess, high intensity water park day. Right?
Yeah, it really was.
For a focused amount of time. Now, is that the way you would normally do water parks, or was that a different approach for this trip?
Yeah, it's a little different than we would normally. We usually get there a little bit late. In the past, we've not been real good about being morning people. We're getting better at it now because we can save so much time.
Yeah.
But normally we get to the water park because it opens late anyway. But we would usually stay till about close, wouldn't we? We'd stay till after lunch and we'd do the Lazy River for a while. But this time because we were trying hard to, we just wanted a day to cool off and to get away from the parks and just relax a little bit. And so we just did it real quick and then headed over for the evening. That's when we went to Epcot, was that day.
Ah, I see. Okay. So you started yourselves off in the water park and then, hit Epcot for the afternoon.
Came home, got changed into dry clothes and headed over to Epcot.
Okay. So anything, new or different about the water park this time? Patty Jo, anything that stood out to you about the time you spent at Typhoon Lagoon this time?
No, it's pretty much the same that's always been.
Okay.
Yeah. They changed up the way you ride the Crush and Gusher a little bit. In the past, you could ride one person on one of the slides, but you couldn't do that anymore. It was two person on two of the slides. And then only one on one or the other. I think there used to be one where you could... Nah, there wasn't one with three, but they changed it up a little bit. They used to have like a short hop-over line for singles, and they didn't do that anymore. But really didn't affect it much.
Okay. And so that leaves us with the Magic Kingdom. And I kind of often like to save that one for last, because most people, if they didn't start with Magic Kingdom, they probably finished the trip with Magic Kingdom. Did I guess right?
Yeah, and actually, let me throw this in real quick. I know we're going to keep this tight, but we did take a half day on one of those. We did Animal Kingdom, and we finished it up basically a half day. And then we did go to Downtown Disney because there's a lot of new stuff in Downtown Disney.
Okay.
And so we wanted to get over and experience that. And we had a good time in Downtown Disney. It's starting to, of course, we don't have to drive and park, so it makes it a lot easier.
Right.
But we didn't get a chance to try some of these new restaurants, but just looking and seeing the food trucks and the new boathouse and the new bridge, that bridge that cuts across past the boathouse that connects the two parts of the have you seen that? You saw it because you were just there.
Well, we actually...
Oh, you didn't make it over?
This is the first time we've been at Walt Disney World and did not get a chance to get to Downtown Disney because our trip that we just got back from was, so compact.
Yeah, you were packing in the cruise and everything else. Yeah.
Right, and it was crazy because we stayed at Port Orleans French Quarter. Like, we were right there, and that was part of the plan was that, it was going to be nice that we could take the boat across and see all the new stuff, and we just never got a chance to do it.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's kind of the way it works. Well, they've built a bridge. It goes from Rainforest Cafe that's over in the corner, and then it just cuts across the water to basically over near Jazz Kitchen.
Okay.
Or near Yeah. And so instead of walking all the way around past all the shops, you just take this short bridge. And that's where, at the end of that's where they built boat rides. And so I really liked that. I thought, well, that's cool.
You mean the boathouse. The boat rides is at Port Orleans Riverside.
Yeah, whoops. Big difference. Big difference between boat rides and boathouse.
Yeah.
Money-wise and quality-wise. Okay, so, boathouse. But it was really cool because you could cut across there and not have to, you know, long jaunt around. I really like that. And so I think when that thing gets completely finished, Downtown Disney is going to be a destination. It's going to be a day destination.
Well,
because we're foodies, so we like to go to different restaurants and stuff. With all those new restaurants coming, you know, we can't wait for Morimoto's and...
Sure.
I couldn't wait for Boathouse till I saw the prices. Now I can wait. Till I'm ready to sell a kidney, I think I'm good. So I thought I'd point that out.
No, I'm glad you did.
Downtown
I'm glad you did.
Awesome. It's really looking good. And of course, we did our my kids' favorite. I don't know what it is. We go to Disney World, and my kids, what they focus on the most is going to the Fork and Dine and Fork, or Fork and Dine, to watch a movie and eat while they watch. It's like the greatest thing since sliced bread. I don't get it, but... So, we live in a small town. What can I say?
Excuse me, I'm a little spoiled. We've got a couple of those
We've got a movie theater with three screens.
Hey, there you go. Moving on up.
So anyway, but Magic Kingdom, yep, that's the one day that we spent the whole day in one park, start to finish, because there was so much new stuff, because these guys, my oldest daughter had seen New Fantasyland, but Seven Dwarfs Mine Train wasn't done, but my wife and Patty Jo had never seen New Fantasyland, hadn't seen Seven Dwarfs, any of that stuff that's been done since then was brand new to them, so we wanted to really focus on that park.
Okay, that makes sense. So you're focusing there, and you know you this is your first experience with the whole family with all of New Fantasyland done. So Patty Jo, I got to ask you, you know, the construction walls are all down, everything's open. What do you think of New Fantasyland?
It was amazing. The castles and the plants and everything just was truly amazing.
What were the highlights for you? What stood out the most?
Of course, the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. The graphics on that were pretty awesome. And we got to see the show at Belle's Castle, and that was really cute.
Enchanted Tales?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, did you participate in Enchanted Tales with Belle?
No, but I got to watch.
What one was the one I got picked into? Oh, that was at Universal with that disaster show or something.
Yeah, that was it.
I'm going to stop going to that thing. They pick me every time. what did you think of the restaurant? We got to do the restaurant, too.
That was awesome. You were completely in Belle's Castle. There wasn't anything that was different from it. We got to stay in the room where you look out the windows and it looks like it's snowing outside.
Oh, okay. So you were in the ballroom there with the snow coming down out the window.
Yes. And one thing I really got excited about is I actually got to try the gray stuff. And that was good. It was really good.
But not delicious.
And it was good, but not super delicious.
You're not losing sleep over it?
No.
And the dishes, you know, maybe overrating their product?
Maybe. I'll be honest with you. The last time we went, that was back before they were, you know, you had to kind of trick them into getting it. And it was my daughter's. It was tied to her birthday because it was right around the corner from her birthday. So they brought her the gray stuff where they would just bring it on the plate. I liked it way better. Now they put it on the cupcake, which was good, but it just wasn't the same.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I've had it. I'm good.
Yeah.
It's off the bucket list. I can sleep now.
So, did you have lunch or dinner at Be Our Guest?
We did lunch.
Okay. So, did you try the order ahead system?
We did not because I wasn't real sure. Some of this stuff was a surprise to them. They didn't know all the things that we were doing, so
Oh, okay.
I just went ahead and didn't do the order ahead. But it was the reservation only approach now there. So when we were there, so
Okay.
I did have
any other menu items that stood out from Be Our Guest, or anything about the experience that, you know, in terms of the service? Because, you know, as a counter service restaurant, it's really, it operates different than most of the quick service options at Walt Disney World.
Yeah. These guys were kind of amazed. They knew where we were. They just kept looking at me going, how are they going to find us, Dad? And I said, trust me, they'll find us.
Yeah.
And showed right up and, wow, had you your food. I've done the dinner there, and I've also, this is the first time I've done the lunch. And the big difference is the quality of the food is still there. I mean, the quality of the food there, that is, for a park that has such a hard time having good quality restaurants to pick from, their food's top-notch. That was the best lunch I think we had outside of Via Napoli, maybe the whole trip. But the difference is that because it's counter service, then they'll bring you your food, but then that's pretty much it. I mean, you want refills, you need to go up and find the Coke machine and get your own refills.
Right.
So fill in your own soda and et cetera, et cetera. But outside of that, it really doesn't feel like a counter service. I mean, everything else was just... and very efficient and very quick.
Yeah, I felt similarly.
Yeah.
So talk to me more about highlights of Magic Kingdom. You know, you were there at a great time because just about everything should have been up and operating, right? I mean, you didn't have, it's not like off season where you've got, you know, Splash Mountain down, and it's not like just a couple weeks after you were there, you know, Pirates went down and is down all summer. So, you know, you had just about every attraction at Walt Disney World up and operating. What did you experience that stood out? What really kind of stuck in your mind now a month later?
Well, we did actually, there is one ride that was down, and that was Pirates. It was actually already
down. Oh, Pirates had already gone down. Okay.
Yeah, it had just gone down. So we did miss Pirates. But as always, I love Splash. Splash is a must-do every trip. Big Thunder Mountain's a must-do every trip. Personally, I'm good Space Mountain one way or the other, but only because I prefer Disneyland Space Mountain a lot more. But it jerks me around, and I got a bad neck, so it's like, oh boy, I'm going to pay for this. But some of the other new stuff, Patty.
It was actually cool. We got to watch the
festival
parade, and what was really cool is someone from my school is actually the family of the day. Like,
oh,
that
nice.
Doesn't happen.
Yeah. It's like we're sitting there, and all of a sudden, and so-and-so from Carlsbad, New Mexico. And we're like, huh? What? You got to be kidding me. And she's going, yeah, he's from my school. It was pretty crazy.
That is funny.
Yeah. But that dragon was pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
I didn't think he was going to breathe fire for him, but because we actually watched, the first time I watched, I did it at the Hub. But this time it just worked out to be back by Pecos Bills.
Okay, over on the Frontierland side, sort of near the beginning of that parade.
Yeah, exactly. It's right. It literally is the beginning, right just down the road from us. And I got to be honest with you, I think that's where we're going to actually be back. Me and Patty Jo are going to be back there in August because she's now going to a national competition in August. And so I'm going to watch from there again. It was great. We've got a nice spot to sit down on the ground, right on the curb, and the floats literally roll right, I mean, practically roll over your feet. They were so close, so
cool.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah, now, see, that's a good tip, because I've only seen it, from right there on Main Street, and I love that parade. I just think it's fantastic.
Best ever, I think. Now, I haven't seen the new Disneyland one, but, oh, man, that's the best parade. I love Festival of Fantasy Parade. I would never miss that parade. The only drawback is that you can, when you're in the Hub, you can get a better sense of the scope and the size of those floats. They're so huge and so massive. When they're right on top of you, it can kind of get by you as to how big it is. You know what I mean? It's just city's floating by you, and eventually it goes by. But when you can see the dragon coming into the Hub, all of a sudden you see, whoa, that dragon's still coming. You know, so, but yeah, so we really liked that a lot. And, and we kind of had a fun day. I'll let Patty talk about that. We my wife was getting pretty well done, and we had done all the new stuff. We did Enchanted Tales. We went back and checked out Dumbo. They really didn't want to ride it, but they wanted to see it. And we checked out all the new stuff, and we were kind of finishing. My wife had gotten this massive blister, I mean huge blister on her foot, and so she was really starting to struggle. Yeah, a lot of rain, you know, on different days, and so she'd get. So I said, "Well, I'm going to take Mom back to the hotel room, and you guys are old enough, so just go for it. You know all the rides, you've written them all, so go do what you want." And so they went and did Haunted Mansion and a bunch of them that we hadn't done. Well, as we got back to the hotel, I mean to tell you, a storm hit. Like, I haven't had one quite like that. I've seen some pretty big ones down there, but this was crazy. I mean, it was. Lightning was hitting right near Art of Animation, and I mean, I swore those windows were going to blow out. I could feel the percussion inside on the other side of the glass from the hits. I mean, it was hitting hard. So, Patty, how did you like the storm?
It was insane because we were waiting outside to ride the Haunted Mansion at the time, and it was perfectly sunny, and all of a sudden you hear, bang! Like, what is going on? And it was funny because the ride had closed down for a few minutes, but the elevators were still working. So they're just putting all these people in this crowded room where the exit is way in the back, and me and my sister are towards the front. So people are literally just stacked in there like sardines waiting for the ride to come up. It was absolutely insane.
Yeah. And you got stuck on the ride. Where did you get stuck?
We got stuck, I think it was up in the attic where it shows the woman who killed her husband.
Yeah, Madame Leota.
Yes.
So they got to watch Madame Leota over and over
and over. It's an interesting place to get stuck.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind getting stuck by the Hatbox Ghost. That would be cool. That wasn't up yet when we were there, unfortunately.
Well, it's not at Walt Disney World. He's only at Disneyland.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's at Disneyland. You're right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I wouldn't have seen it anyway.
Yeah, but it was actually hilarious because my sister hates that ride. So she's grabbing onto my arm like, when is it going to stop?
Yeah, she's kind of a nervous Nelly, so she was not enjoying being stuck in the mansion very much at all. So, but then later in the evening, we came back and found the girls so that we could do the fireworks, and I love to celebrate the magic. That laser light show on the castle is one of my favorite.
Yeah, the projection show has come such a long way since that, the silly one where it was putting the guest photos up there. I think it's really hit its stride, and they're doing such beautiful work with it.
Oh, yeah, and it's so creative, and they're tying into so many different things that they have in their vault, so it's really, and I can't wait to see the Disneyland version with it on downtown's buildings and Matterhorn, and that's going to be really cool. But anyway, so we got there. Well, I had, one of my other surprises was I had bought the dessert party over in Tomorrowland Terrace.
Okay.
So we could go sit and watch the shows. And we got there, and of course, my wife and I, the girls, we hadn't caught up to them. They got on Space Mountain, right?
And we got in the line for it. We didn't get to ride it.
And it shut down on them.
Yeah.
And so they were right towards the front, and they were saying, "We're almost there, Dad. We're almost." I said, "Guys, you've got to leave now, or you're going to miss the show." So we went and stood in line so we'd be there, a half hour early to try to get a good seat. Well, we found out it's a waste of your time now. Because with the Tomorrowland Terrace dessert party, they assign you seats.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's no longer first come, first serve for the dessert party.
You get in and they say, "You're at this table." And so really just show up. I was not a happy camper. I was not. My wife was kind of standing away from me because I was frustrated because I said, "You're kidding me. I booked this thing the day I could get it. And now I'm going to end up with a cruddy seat." And sure enough, they took us to a table, and I kid you not, it was behind a pole. You couldn't see a square inch of the castle.
That just doesn't make any sense to me.
It's crazy.
Maybe all this is going to be taken care of when they finish the hub work, and maybe they'll just move the dessert party once and for all. Because it never made a lot of sense to me where they put it anyway.
No, it's horrible.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. So maybe they'll move it once they get the hub work finished.
Because,
you know, I know that there's a lot kind of riding on this dessert party. You guys probably were right at the cusp of the changeover.
Right, for the switch to the expensive one, where they're going to include champagne and everything.
So the big deal, it doesn't include champagne because it's in the Magic Kingdom.
That's right.
But the big deal is, I was just reading about this the other day. It's now a partnership with Ghirardelli.
Oh, that was it. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so Ghirardelli is going to be providing the desserts.
I will say the rest of the story is. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh no. Go ahead. I mean, yeah, that's kind of, you know, it's I guess just now just starting that Ghirardelli's providing the desserts, and it's supposed to be a sort of an upgraded experience, I guess is the idea, but you know, not if you're sitting behind a pole.
Yeah, well, I will give them credit. You know, it redeemed itself before it was done, because they told me, because I was not a happy camper when I sat behind that pole. I'm like, I am just, now I'm done. This is stupid. First of all, why even put a table there? Just take the table out or move it. There's other places to put it. But here's the thing. You could get up. They say, you just sit here. But when the show starts, you go stand at the rail, which, okay, I understand. It would be nice to have had another table over there, since I was one of the first ones in line, who could have sat at the table and watched the whole show.
Right.
But we got up and went to the rail. And so, you know, we got a great view of Tinkerbell, phenomenal view of Tinkerbell. She flies right over the top of your head. The fireworks part of it was phenomenal. I put some pictures on Facebook. It was really good. The only problem is you hit the nail on the head. It's the same problem with that as the reserved area for FastPass. They put it to the right side of that castle. It's off center. And then they put this huge, big box building.
Yeah.
And a tree between where you are and the castle. And basically, I can see the fireworks above the castle great, but all that light work and cool stuff they do on the castle, the part that I really love, you can't see probably 50% of the castle. You just can't even see. It's blocked. You can't see it. All that junk's in the way. Now, if they do move it to the hub, that'll be a huge difference. I'll pay the money to get a good view from the hub. I really will, because I like not having to show up 2 hours early to get a good seat.
Right.
I don't mind. But why waste a fast pass on it when it's going to put you to the side where you still can't see the whole castle, or pay for the dessert party where you can't see it? So it's like, yeah, well, anyway. But the fireworks were great. We enjoyed those. And then after the fireworks, we were able to sneak in a couple of the big rides a little bit later, because it was open late. And so we put in some more rides and made a very full day of it. We were there. Well, you were there all day. Dad got to go back and take a nap. Really, I was just taking care of my wife. That's the only reason.
Yeah. Sure.
So Patty Jo, what did you do while Dad was away? How did you enjoy your solo time in the park?
It was awesome, because we actually headed over right to Pirates and got to ride that. And then we did the Haunted Mansion.
You did ride Pirates?
Yes, we did.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Well, I guess Pirates was open. I just didn't ride it.
And we rode the Matterhorn at least two. No, what
no
is
you didn't.
You weren't in Disneyland.
You were on the wrong coast.
Sorry. The train ride?
Oh, you rode the Disney train twice?
No. The
Seven Dwarfs Mine.
Big Thunder Mountain.
Big Thunder Mountain.
Oh, Big Thunder Mountain.
We rode that twice, and we tried. It was kind of funny, because we looked at the lines for Space Mountain, and it was really big, so we're like, okay, we'll get something to eat, and we'll check again. And it was still big, so we did the laugh floor, and then we came back, finally got a good line, and then all of a sudden we get a phone call, like, you guys need to get over here so we can watch the show. And it's like,
oh. Only good thing about Space Mountain for you was, I think this is the first time we've ever been in there with an actual line.
Yes.
And so they got to play the games.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we actually got to do that a little bit this last trip. And, you know, I didn't love standing in line, but
no.
the games were, you know, and somewhat
entertaining. A little distraction.
Sure.
But I think she kind of enjoyed it a little bit too much. I think her and her sister think that from now on they need to get a day where they just be rid of their parents and do whatever they want.
Yeah, sounds about right.
And I'm pretty good with that at Disney. I'm sure. Good.
So any other, before we kind of take a big picture look for a minute, anything else about Magic Kingdom kind of stand out? Because we've really covered, most of your day, but I do want to make sure that we, touch base with anything that was a standout, good or bad, about the Magic Kingdom day.
I don't think we had, other than the storm, I don't think we had anything bad that day. It was just a really good day. Yeah. The one thing I will say, of course, I've had a chance now to go 3 times to see some of the new stuff. I personally don't think they missed the mark on anything new they did. In New Fantasyland, with the parade, with those things that they're adding so far, I think they rang the bell on every one of them, from aerials to the Dumbo change-up to the soak area to on and on and on. I just really enjoyed the upgrades to Magic Kingdom, and I hope that's a good sign for what we're going to see in Animal Kingdom and Hollywood Studios in the years to come.
Yeah, I would agree. I think Imagineering's on a roll, and I'd like to see him,
keep it up.
Exactly. Keep on going. All right, so wrapping things up here, you had this week-long trip where you really kind of did all of Orlando, water park and all 4 parks at Walt Disney World and both parks at Universal Studios. So, Patty Jo, I'm going to let you go first. And looking back at the whole week, what are the things that stand out in your mind as, this is what you're going to remember, 6 months from now when you think back about that trip?
I'm going to definitely remember the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. That was really awesome. And the Cowfish that we went to, that restaurant was so good. And also just getting to spend time with my family, even as a teenager, because it gets stressful at home with dance and other things, and you finally get to talk to each other.
Okay, that all sounds great. So how about you, Brad? 6 months from now, when you're looking back, what are the things that are going to stand out to you about this particular trip?
Honestly, one of the things that, and it kind of hits us, my wife and I both, as we look at it, because with our oldest daughter, she's 21 now, she keeps informing us that she will be going to Disney forever with us, even after she gets married and have kids, and I keep trying to explain to her that's not the way the world works. But these opportunities are starting to get to the back end of this. We've enjoyed doing Disney since Patty Jo was 2 months old and Minnie Mouse held her in her arms and rocked her and ruined Carrie and I for life. We have gone to Disney at least once every year since. And so it's been a part of our lives. It's been very much a part of who we are and a part of, my kids are Disney kids. I mean, they that's the world they're used to. And so this particular trip, I think what I'm going to remember is just those moments, realizing that this may be the last time and that we'll get to experience some of these things like we've experienced in the past. And the cool part of this trip was, we did 2 Universal parks. We did 4 Disney parks. We did a water park. We went to Downtown Disney. We did it in 6 days, and I don't feel like we missed anything.
Mm-mm.
I don't think there's anything that I look back and go, man, we should have done that. If we could have just fit that in. I just don't know that. Do you feel like that? I think
no.
Everything was great. So those are the kind of memories you like when you feel like we didn't come home and have to go into a rest home to recover, and we feel like, that was a satisfying trip. We hit all the bells, we hit all the targets we were trying to hit.
All right, well, that just sounds terrific. I'm glad it worked out so well for you, and I'm looking forward. I know you've got a fall cruise coming up with just you and the wife, I believe.
Yep.
So
that is the one thing we've explained to them now as they get older. they get a trip, then we get one without them. And when they get jobs, they can have a trip on their own without us. That'll be fine when they can pay for their own. So, yeah, we're heading out on the Oasis of the Seas in as it stands right now in November. So we're excited for that.
All right. Well, I'll look forward to hearing about that one when you get back from that. But
okay.
You know, thanks again for coming on and sharing this trip with us. Brad and Patty Joe, it's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Aaron, as always.
Yeah, thank you so much.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation, right at the start of everything that's new. One little spark lights up for you. Glad you could come along. I am the Dream Finder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. Never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer, but a lovable fella. From head to tail, he's royal purple pigment, and there, voila, you've got a figment of imagination.